The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning, everyone.
Good afternoon.
And good evening. Welcome to Being Here. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And today's show is about well-being. Is your birthright? Part two.
That's right.
And it really isn't part two. We actually did a show on well-being as your birthright. It had a slightly different title. It was back in February of 2011.
Wow.
A while ago.
We've been doing this for a while.
We have. Over 7 years on the seventh wave.
That's right.
And that show was Having a Great Life, It's Your Birthright. So in that vein, well-being is your birthright. And the show, of course, is Being Here.
So welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about how to get the most out of today's show.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a regular listener,
you may guess where we're going.
And if you do, that's fine. It's only a function of your mind. What we need to talk about is the possibility of your life transforming during the course of this show. It is more than possible, but it will take your attentiveness. It will take your ability to let go of what you're doing and just listen to the show, rather than listen whilst doing your emails or whatever you do, multitasking.
Now, I know that some of you are driving or walking. You're on your way to work.
Keep driving, keep walking.
Keep being on your way to work. But see if you can relax.
If you can, have this program be what you're doing, listening to. What you're listening to. Because, see, if you listen non-judgmentally, it will pull you into the current moment of your life. And transformation happens when you get here, not when you think about getting here. See, most of us don't listen. We think about what's being said, see if we already know it, or if we agree with it, or if we disagree with it. But that isn't listening. That's thinking. And thinking is highly overrated. It gets you in trouble. If you look and tell the truth, you upset yourself with what you think about. When what you think about isn't right in front of you, it's often some mythological future that hasn't gotten here yet. So this show is an opportunity to discover how to get into the current moment, and when you get here, you'll also discover well-being, because well-being lives in this moment, not in some future that hasn't gotten here or some past that's already gone by.
We were speaking.
Did I say that enough?
You did.
Okay.
We were speaking with a young woman this morning, and when we got on the phone with her, she was extremely stressed. And she's working on a charity event which could raise millions for a charity, and it happens coming up in the next few days. And we suggested to her that if she's stressed, it does not produce a better result. And it was really about relaxing into where she is, rather than being divided, thinking, I have to do that, I have to do that. It's really about giving herself the luxury to be where she is. And interestingly enough, in a very, very short period of time, her voice changed. She became centered. She became powerful. She was obvious to us when she got off the phone going to be a lot more productive than when she was worrying about the future based on her apparent inadequacies in the past, which she doesn't have any, and neither do you. You do not have inadequacies. Those only appear in your mind, because if you look at the three principles of instantaneous transformation, anything you resist sticks around. So if you have the idea that you did something wrong,
You're stuck with that. Oh, we finish each other's sentences.
We do.
The other thing is our approach is not psychotherapeutic. We're not going to try to fix or change you. The game is to discover that you're perfect exactly as you are, and most of us have all kinds of reasons why we're not.
Well, which brings us to the second principle, which is you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment, and that includes your ideas that you're inadequate.
And that means you could have only been exactly as you were in any previous moment of your life, which means that you couldn't have done your life wrong. You could have only done it the way you did.
You know, I was talking to our daughter today, and her son has come down with chickenpox. She got him the first vaccine, and for various reasons, never followed through with the second. And now she has to manage that part of her that wants to run backward in time and say, I could have, I should have, I would have. Had I known, and now what she gets to do is deal with her son, who has to be home for at least a week and a half because he's contagious to other individuals who may or who may not have gotten their vaccines. And as we talked, we looked at anything you allow to be exactly as it is, third principle, completes itself.
Could that be a vaccine, too?
Well, how she's going to go about this in these days as if it is perfect. If she gets time to spend time with her son that she wouldn't normally have, it does create additional scheduling challenges for certain. He's not particularly uncomfortable, which is a great thing. But you cannot run backward in time. You can be where you are. And from that perspective, you're amazingly powerful and you have well-being, even if your child is sick.
We have a caller.
Let's take him. Mark, you with us?
I am.
Where are you calling in from today?
My office in Little Falls, New Jersey.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
So, something I had mentioned Monday night when I was at Monday Night Alive. In conversation, I often, ask people how they are. And, it's just a normal back and forth. And it always goes to life's problems, whether it's them starting with their issues, a friend, or my mother, or my sister. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can not be a complainer when I'm in conversation to move that conversation in a better place.
First off, you are holding the idea of complaints as bad and wrong.
Mm.
Like, you don't want to be a complainer. Like, that's a lesser state. Do you see that? Transformation happens when you don't have a point of view. When you're willing to accept what is exactly as it is, not say, no, this is wrong, this is bad. It would be better if I were a non-complaining person.
Hmm.
See, life exists the way it does, Mark. And if you are trying to manipulate it to turn out so you feel more comfortable, then you'll never be comfortable. Because life doesn't care what Mark wants.
The other thing is, for instance, when our daughter called us today, and I asked her, what's wrong? Because clearly something was up. And what she had to tell me was clearly couched in a complaint. But she didn't have any other way to be. And she needed to communicate that she was in what she considered an extremely frustrating situation, compounded by the idea that she should have done it differently. And understandably, you don't want your child to be sick, and you don't want to have done something that hurt him potentially. And it was really important that I listen. I think one of the things you haven't looked at is how you ask the question. Because on Monday night, we do our best to greet virtually everybody who comes to one of our courses. So depending on the night, you know, it could be 50, 60, 70, 80 people we are doing our best to individually speak with. And it's not uncommon to say, oh, hi, how are you? It's not uncommon to use that phrase. But I'm genuinely interested. There are people who will ask me, how are you? And they're really requesting me to complain. So the same words can have a different intent. The other thing is, what you resist, you produce.
So if you resist complaining because you think complaining is bad, your universe is going to supply you with complainers. I'm not kidding you, Mark. It just
I get
works
it.
That way.
I
you
love
know?
It.
If you don't want complainers, that's whatever you don't want, you'll produce in your life.
Right. I've learned that clearly.
Well, the other...
Have you learned it clearly?
Over and over.
But you, if it's over and over, then you haven't learned it clearly. Otherwise, it would stop.
Well, see, the way you say learned it, it's like it's over complete rather than
right.
Life is this moment to moment looking at things.
Got it.
And anything you resist, you keep. And you keep reproducing. That's why people have the same boss in different jobs or the same boyfriend or girlfriend in different bodies, because they resist certain things about somebody and they keep producing that type of person in their life.
It's interesting that when we were putting together today's show, and I actually knew you were going to call in because you mentioned Monday that you were going to call into the show, a couple of things came to mind when we were making show notes. And in particular in regards to you. And one of them is that well-being comes with honesty. And I was really taken with our interaction with you on Monday, Mark, because it seemed like you were self-editing what you wanted to verbalize. So you were like, oh, things are really good. And I was taken by, it seemed like you were providing us with a cleaned up for public consumption version, when really preceding that statement was flashes of all the things that you might have taken exception to or are currently frustrated by. It wasn't just like things are good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like things are good. There was
a lot of self-editing going on between the word things and good.
As if good was the better answer as opposed to...
disturbing.
Yeah, when we ask, you know, how you doing, I'm interested in a weather report. You know, the weather may be 60 degrees, it may be 30 degrees.
It may be sunny, it may be rainy. There's nothing wrong with any of those things.
Right.
Unless you have a preference not to have rainy weather.
Right.
So, I was actually very, when Shai said, how are you, to this woman who called in today, she's like, pretty good. Shai said, why just pretty good? She said, well, I have this big event, I'm worried about it. And then we're like, oh, well, and we could say a couple of things and she could return to herself, but she wasn't trying to pretend that she was better than she was.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying desperately to do your life right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do your life right. You can only do your life the way you do your life. The other note we had for you was that unless you're complete with your parents, you will keep on creating conflict everywhere in your life, whether it be subtle or
grand.
Mm-hmm.
That well-being really comes in full bloom once you've allowed yourself to let go of the story that each of us have about our parents, what they did or they didn't do, keep referring, and most people keep referencing them for why we're being the way we're being.
Right, but the thing is this, you have to forgive yourself and your parents, and to forgive somebody means to give up the right or desire to punish. It means to have it be as though the event never happened, like as if you're forgiving a debt. It's like they never owed you anything. So if you keep on beating on yourself in your thoughts, or on your parents, or anybody else for that matter, in your thoughts, then you will never have your own life. We've lost.
What are you thinking about?
A lot of things. You know, my parents, thinking about what has been going on with my mother recently, and she's had some surgery and things are going well, and my interactions with her, just, you know, just kind of my brain is rolling through as Shia was talking.
You know, the very interesting thing with you, Mark, I just want to go back to something that we kind of touched on earlier, because it's so important for everybody. Most of us want to have learned things, and we want to have things be a one-time thing, and we want to be over it. And I remember when you initially started attending our seminars, your ability to listen was really truncated. It was difficult for you. There was a barricade or a barrier or a defensiveness, and in particular between you and men, so that things like if Shai spoke to you or another guy came up to have a conversation with you in a seminar, there was a different posture about you. There was a different way you heard. It was almost like painful, like it was not as easy as it is now when you are centered. I can tell when you are under stress, or when you've gotten knocked off balance, or when you are not currently operating as the full-blown you. All I have to do is watch you when we're in conversation with you, and how well you're able to listen, or how well things can just come and go easily, or if you're barricaded once again. And the thing is, if you're like most people, you think once you've handled the barricades, they should be down forever. Rather than recognize that stressors, and it sounds like even if your mom is doing really well, her ill health, surgeries, dealing with details of it, may be a stressor that has had you preoccupied.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. I think the profound thing that is resonating with me is being honest with my feelings to myself, as opposed to pushing them away to put on a face.
Okay.
I can see that.
Good. I like, you know, it's funny, because I think what happens is you took that one, you liked that one, so you stopped listening to everything else, at least on some level. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you come back with us after the break? The timing is...
break.
Oh, sure.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, hang in there then, Mark.
We'll be back with Mark, and hopefully all of you come on back.
And don't miss being here.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at TransformationMadeEasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. A couple of announcements. Tomorrow night starts the first of three Speak Up courses in New York City that I am...
Speak Up Evenings.
Evenings.
That make up the Speak Up
course. Course, yes. Thank you. I am leading it together with the talented Susan Finch. It starts tomorrow night at 7. For those of you who are coming, be sure to be there by 6:45. We have a lot to do. A week from Monday, we're doing a special event in New York City called Holidays Made Easy. We figured we'd get a jump start on it.
Yeah, and since we're moving towards that season.
And for those of you who live in the Miami area or who have friends in the Miami area.
Our most recent book, How to Have a Match Made in Heaven, has been translated into Spanish, and so we're going to do a bilingual book event in Coral Gables.
So if you want to know more about any or all of those things, just go to our website.
It's at Books and Books in mm-hmm. Coral Gables.
Right. So Transformation Made Easy.
com.
Yeah. Still with us, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
That's great.
Wasn't that easy?
It was. It was.
Very easy. All you have to do is stop thinking about it. Stop trying to do it right.
You know one of the things I love about this show? When people call in, you said something, Shai. It's an opportunity to have your life transform, and it happens in an instant.
It does.
So you hear people like yourself who are thinking, and you're not in real time, and then all of a sudden...
You know what was interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, Mark got into real time, and then he started thinking again, and he went right back out of real time. So that's a hint. You see, when you're thinking about things, it pulls you out of the current moment of your life. And getting here doesn't mean you stay here.
But you do get better at it.
That's true. It's like building a tolerance. You know, Ariel once took me skiing up in the Swiss Alps.
Well, we were with a whole group of people.
Right, and I had never gone skiing before, so I have not gone since, by the way. I was on the bunny slope and doing very well for myself, and Ariel, who grew up in Oregon near Mount Hood, where her father took her skiing when she was 3 years old, is very good at it, but thinks she isn't. She just thinks she's okay.
Yeah, I definitely underestimated my skill set.
Right. And so it's like, so here I was learning to snow plow, and she says, come on, you can go. The intermediate slope is not that difficult. And so I went up with her on a chairlift, and then I went down on my butt because I couldn't hold the skis in a snow plow long enough. Every once in a while, they'd straighten out on me, and I'd start shooting down the mountain, so I'd sit down. It was a long and hard process to get to the bottom, and this was pre-transformation. So believe me, Mark, I was complaining.
You know, I'll tell you, I probably was competing with you like crazy and unaware of it at the time.
Right.
So it was like I was showing you, you think you're so good at everything else, try this.
Yeah,
you
put me in my place.
Yeah, I did. I probably did, unbeknownst to myself.
Well, those were the days.
They were the days.
And they weren't the good old days either.
No, these are the good new days.
It's a good day.
It's wonderful being here, I have to say. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys so much. And
thank you.
What you share, and I just love it. Great.
You know, we appreciate you calling in and being willing to be out here for all of our listeners. I admire so greatly, Shy and I both do, but actually
she speaketh
for both of us, our callers who give so selflessly of themselves. And I know you get a lot, but I still, you know, both of our hats, if we were wearing them, are off to you.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll speak up together. We'll have some fun.
Okay.
Thank
you
very much. We have another caller.
So we'll take her. Leah in Brooklyn.
Hi.
You in Brooklyn today?
I am in Brooklyn today, yeah.
Awesome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
So I've been noticing that when I take my attention off myself and just get involved either in my project, what I'm doing, or more so in like taking care of other people, like my life gets so good. But I had the thought recently that if I'm not putting attention on myself, somehow I'm going to be lazy with my own goals or projects. And I'm just wondering, I know it's probably just a thought, but I'm wondering about those goals of like what the balance is between being proactive in going after my creative projects. Like, for example, auditioning, I'm an actress and that's one of the things I do. I'm also a writer and I have a screenplay I'm working on, and then taking the attention off myself and not worrying about trying to get ahead.
Well, look.
Does that make sense?
Yes. When you're doing a role, like you go to an audition and you have a script given to you that you have to read, you're doing it to get the job, but at the same time, if you do it to get the job, your attention is on you and how you're doing, rather than on doing that role as fully as you can.
Right. You're making it sound like they're either or, where in the scenario Shai just gave you, having your attention off yourself is the most likely way you'll get hired.
That's right. Because if you have your attention on how you're doing, then you're not going to be in time. You'll be out of sync with what you're up to because you'll be thinking about how you're doing, not just reading your lines or delivering your lines.
Right.
You also won't be able to see what the director wants from you, because you'll have your idea. You won't listen to what she or he is saying. You'll be listening to your thoughts about what you think it means.
Right.
The other thing is you have internalized ideas on what it takes to accomplish your goals based on what you've seen and also how you've done it in the past. which has included a measure of resisting doing the project. It's included the idea, and I'm saying idea, that you're lazy, or the idea that you're not doing enough.
Or you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. You haven't studied or rehearsed enough.
Yeah, right.
We spoke on Monday to the agent who sold our first two books to McGraw-Hill. And we were talking to him because we have a new book that's completed. And he's like, why would you want to publish that way again? I think that, you know, it'd be a waste of your time. It's going to take a long time. You don't make very much money because the way the structure is. There's a whole other structure. You want to try it this way. And he explained it, and it would be easy. And I love that my pictures have all come from when it was more challenging. And I have to keep letting go of those pictures. Writing this particular project took longer, but it became a part of the fabric of our life as opposed to a goal that was going to somehow make our life better someday when it got completed, but now we were going to work and frustrate ourselves on it.
And if we continue in that realm, then when the book gets published, it will make we will succeed in life, or we will have made it. Nothing is going to save you. You know that? Everybody thinks some achievement, some attainment will then save you.
You now have that national print job under your belt. You have the movie under your belt. You have the commercials under your belt. You have the shows under your belt. And none of them have saved you.
Have you noticed that?
No. No, it's so true, and it's funny. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, and you have the idea something else in the future is going to somehow save you now. Like getting this screenplay written.
Right. Well,
like,
it's so
that's
interesting.
That's going to make your career. Look, the game is putting one foot in front of the other in this moment.
Here's the other thing, Leah. I'm going to make a question. I think I'll do a question rather than a suggestion. I like it. Here's my question. Can you trust yourself?
More than I ever have before, absolutely.
You didn't answer the question.
There's either a yes or a no, and you really have to look. Can you trust yourself?
Yes.
I didn't ask, do you trust yourself? I said, can you trust yourself? Yes, you can. You can trust yourself. So the interesting thing is if when you're doing what you call, quote, someone else's project, as in you work, you have clients that you do social media for or whatever else it is that you're
up to in that moment,
you can trust yourself that that is what produces your screenplay. Because when you really let go of the screenplay, when you are not writing it, when you come back to it, it'll be faster, easier, better than if you keep one foot out the door while you're working on your other project.
Yes. If you're a no to what you're doing, even though you're doing it, because you think there's something better than you should be doing, you're like the typical actor who has their day job. And I have another word for it that starts with S and ends in T.
And rhymes with hit.
Right. There, we said it. Now, they have that job, and they go to that job to earn their, quote, living while they're struggling to become a, quote, actor.
And it depletes them.
And so when they do have an audition, they bring the same attitude of this isn't it. I should be discovered by now.
And maybe you'll be wise enough to see me finally.
Right. And that attitude, it really goes over well.
Yeah, right. No.
Right. They'll bring that with them to whatever they do. So the game, Leah, is to do whatever you're doing as though that's what you should be doing, not holding a part of yourself back to
for that fictitious someday that will never come, for
right.
that result that's going to be better than what you're doing right now.
That's right.
You know, by the way, I'm happy with this book project that we're doing. I'm really happy. I've been happy with it every step of the way. I love that. I love that we didn't, you know, sacrifice anything for its accomplishment. And in a certain respect, I have the feeling it's the best book ever.
It is.
It is. Although what we did was we went back and we looked at our very, very, very first book, the very first iteration of it, before we were, when we self-published and we forgot to put the
price
on the back because we didn't know what we were doing. But we looked at the interior of it, and it still is true today. It and it's still representative of how we think and what we teach, and it's wonderful. And we don't need to improve on it. We just need to keep expressing ourselves. And we, you know, back then that was a real challenge for us to produce it. It was like trying to push out information to, in order to create, because it was not something we've done before.
It didn't flow easily.
It didn't flow easily. Because we had to battle, were we doing it right?
Or we had to battle the idea that we weren't good at it.
And you know, yeah. It's interesting that
we had to not prove ourselves right about the story of our inadequacy.
But it's interesting that I said we had to battle with that, because at that time, even though our lives had transformed, we weren't as skilled at being us as we are today. So we're no longer battling with those ideas. Those ideas are still in that tape loops that we have in there. They occur from time to time.
But we don't resist them.
We include them. We notice them.
And so when you include or notice them, they lose their power, their control over how you interact with your life in this moment.
And what was really neat, I know we only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but when we woke up this morning, you know that we'd spoken to this agent, we're moving forward with the book project, and so there were certain questions and unknowns, and, you know, which parts do we give them the rights to, and how do we do it, and the cover, and, you know, all the things that are now up to be done next. And we just talked about it this morning. So rather than worry about it, we just said, hey, you know, this is what I was thinking about last night. And Shari said one thing, and I said another, and, you know, within a few minutes, all questions were answered.
Cool.
Rather than worried about over time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how when things are too easy, I almost distrust them, and I add a layer of worry where it really isn't necessary.
Well, most of us have seen that in our growing up, and that's what we think a responsible business person does.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break now. You want to come back with us after the break?
I'd love to.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
Don't miss
Being Here.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, The Excellence Club.
success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here. We have a workshop coming up in New York City on December 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's Friday night, December 5th, Saturday and Sunday, the 6th and 7th. It's called The Freedom to Breathe and the Art of Being a Healer. And we invite you to join us. The Freedom to Breathe is a unique experience where you achieve getting into the current moment of your life via your breath and your body rather than your intellect. Because your intellect really distracts you from the moment. And by just breathing, you can discover how to be here and get the experience of being direct in this moment of your life. And that's very unique in our world.
It's a great vacation from your brain.
Right. And the second part of the workshop, The Art of Being a Healer, comes from what I discovered many years ago when I was doing hands-on healing, probably 30, 35 years ago now. And it's out of that technology that all of our workshops currently are based. It's about leading people into their bodies in a way that pain and tension dissolve just out of seeing it and allowing yourself to experience it. So that's coming up, and you're invited. I would make it a point, no matter where you are, to join us, because we have people coming in from Europe and from all over the United States as well.
Also, FYI, everyone, Costa Rica 2015, we have two spots available out of 180, although I hear there may be somebody coming to the Freedom to Breathe, Art of Being a Healer weekend to fulfill the prerequisite, so it may indeed be one space left. So just letting you know that if you want to come, the doors, the window of opportunity is really small.
It's definitely closing.
Hey, are you still with us, Leah?
I am, hi.
I have a question for you, another question, ready?
Yes. Yeah.
So did you listen to the commercials?
I did.
Did you hear that incredible voiceover by that gal who sounds suspiciously like you?
I did hear that. It was very nice.
You got that job out of not trying to get a job, but because you were being so fully you, we thought that voice is something we need to have on our radio show.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool.
I know you're swimming in a sea of people who are trying to get ahead.
Yeah, and every time you go to an audition, you're surrounded by the thoughts of those people, which impact you. And when you absorb other people's thoughts, you always think it's your voice that's saying it, but that may not be the case.
And now you're in something a little newer for you, this screenplay, and you have a picture of how fast it needs to go.
Yeah.
so.
And then you work on yourself and think you're lazy if you don't do it. And sometimes when you're not doing it, not sometimes, when you're not doing it, you shouldn't be doing it.
Cool.
You know, I was working on some book edits on Sunday, and Shai and I went for a drive. And I knew that if I did that, I wouldn't get back to the book on Sunday. But we went to a fly fishing store, and then at some point I wanted to go outside and sit in the car, and I listened to an audiobook. And then I put my feet up on the dashboard, and I took a nap. And it was so incredibly fulfilling. And you know what? This project's going to get done in excellent time, but I am absolutely having an incredible life along the way.
And that's what it's all about.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks
for calling.
Calling
speaking with you. Yeah, and I'll see you tomorrow, too, at Speak Up.
Yippee!
Excellent.
We'll have fun. All right,
yeah.
Let's take our next caller, shall we?
Yes. Joanna, are you
Hello.
There?
Hi.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
That's irrelevant, really.
That's relevant.
Now, in your case, I don't know if you're listening to
Mark,
you know, he was talking about how sometimes you say, people ask how you're doing and it turns into a complaint fest. You tend to ask, how are you doing, to throw people's attention, in particular ours, off of you so people won't see you.
Yes, and I was actually listening to Mark, so that's pretty funny. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
There's been, maybe I've just been noticing it more, but there's been a couple of deaths in my community in Boulder recently.
Can you do me a favor?
Can you do us a favor?
If you slowed down the cadence of your speech, it's hard to understand you.
Right, we're having a hard time hearing you.
Sorry. So there have been a couple of deaths in your community?
Yeah, just in my extended friend community here. Not anyone that I was particularly close with. But it brought up something that you guys have talked about a lot, and it kind of sparked a question. The difference between getting caught up in other people's drama and sympathizing with people. Like,
okay,
where's their
what's
line
the question?
Well, I have a feeling that there, if you're getting caught up in people's drama around, rather than just going, wow, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that. Like,
then
today,
it's over.
I was genuinely sorry to hear that my grandson has chicken pox, and I was sorry to hear that it created such a challenge for his mom. But I didn't step into the drama of it. I asked her questions that, to my best of my ability, would support her. If, you know, and it happens with people, deaths, people come on Monday night and say, my dad died, my mom is ill. You can be caring, but not have to jump into a drama mill. But if you are, it has benefit for you.
Oh, okay.
So the question is, what is jumping into this drama saving you from?
I don't know.
Well, you didn't look.
I didn't look.
No, you just said, I don't know.
I'll give you places to look. Ready?
Okay.
Here are some of the top ones. And I have an extra one for you because I know of your third, I know a little bit of your life.
That's great, yeah.
One is work. When somebody has a new project or they're in the learning curve and they don't know how to do something,
then it's so convenient for some drama to show up that they can get distracted by, so they don't have to confront the that they don't know.
Second big ticket item, relationship. If somebody's in a relationship and things are not going smoothly and there are things they don't want to look at, drama over some cul-de-sac off on the left
is so much more convenient than having to look at that which doesn't work in the relationship.
if they're not in a relationship and they have the desire to date but that's stalled out, or they're frustrated or they've gotten disappointed, that's another good drama producer. And then the other one is perhaps for you, mortality. And I'm not talking about your mortality, I'm talking about your dad's.
Yeah.
Because he's had a few issues with his heart recently that...
And he stood up and talked about it on Monday, about how he had had some episodes of, I think it's called tachycardia, where the rhythm gets off and it skips a beat, and he couldn't breathe, and he had to lean against the wall, and he went to work anyway. He ignored it for a couple of days, and he was talking about how in denial he was. And, of course, he's since done some things to take care of it. It seems to be working well now. But I know he spoke about it some because you were in town recently. And
yeah.
I think you all didn't want to look at the possibility that time could be short.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that as a connection. That's definitely true.
Well, that you didn't think about it doesn't mean that you didn't divert your attention from that fact by getting lost in somebody else's drama.
Because actually, he spoke pieces of it. You were in town recently, and I watched you all as a family actively not think about it, which takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let yourself feel that, darling.
Yeah, that'd be it.
And I'll tell you, when I look at him, and your dad Mac is one of our, I don't want to say oldest as in eldest, but longest-term friends. We've known him for many years, from long before you were born. And the idea of losing him is
not a positive idea.
But when he was speaking on Monday and he was so himself, it's also an inspiration for all of us to be here. So,
'cause none of us realize how it's like life is capricious. Life, you never know when it's going to end, and it's so magnificent if you're here for it, and it's non-existent if you're lost in your thoughts.
Yeah. We've had a great fortune in our immediate community with the, you know, many, many, many people we work with, that there hasn't been a lot of loss of people who come regularly to seminars. And when our friend Terry died over a year ago from a brain tumor at a very young age, it really struck people. But one of the things that was so wonderful to watch in her process, albeit painful because it was brain cancer and she lost facilities, was how she lived her life. And that, I remember her talking about at her funeral, some friends of hers who were in a book group.
Reading, book club where they read different books.
And they came after having assigned themselves something that was really dry and dreadful and historical, and everybody slogged their way through it. And she sat down at the round table, and they were at a really nice restaurant because she'd insisted they go to good places if they're going to eat. And everybody was bemoaning the book, and they got to her, and she said, "I didn't read it. I have brain cancer. If it doesn't make sense, I'm not doing it anymore.
If it's not fun, I'm not doing it anymore.
If it's not fun, I'm not doing it."
So, that, you know, but you don't have to have brain cancer to live your life like, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. You know, I went to the dentist yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a crown that came off. They made a new crown, and they were going to put it on yesterday, and so I went there, and they wanted to numb my mouth for it, and I said, no, thank you, I don't get numb. So the technician there, she looked at me like I was a horrible person for not wanting to get numb, but she accepted my thing. And then as they're fitting the crown, she said, you need to have an... She didn't say anything. She lifts up this lead blanket and is going to apron and is going to put it around me. I said, I don't want any x-rays. And she said, you must. And I said, no, I'm not having any x-rays. See, I had a couple of CAT scans of my brain in the last few years, and I don't want any more x-rays up there than I need. So I said, no, we're not having that. And she goes and gets the dentist, and the dentist comes in, and we really should give you an x-ray. I said, no. And he went, okay. And that was the end of it. But sometimes you got to be true to yourself. You got to speak up for yourself. You got to be willing to be okay with the outcome of what you choose.
So I have a feeling, Joanna, that if you're tempted to jump into drama, you're simply not fully engaged in your life. And if you're not fully engaged in your life, you know, Mark mentioned it, you may be diverting some of your energy to hide from you, like things like, Dad, I love my dad, I wouldn't want to lose him. I mean, that thought goes by, you hide it from yourself, and then you're lost. Or you go to work and you're not sure how to do a project, and then you think you should know how to do it, and you're not sure who to talk to, and you hide it from yourself, and then you get a little more lost.
Well, you don't want to look stupid for not knowing how to do what you haven't learned yet.
Yeah.
Look, they hired you because of your potential, and they know you don't know everything there is to know yet. They're training you.
Yeah.
Relax.
Okay.
Slow down. You'll get it done if you slow down. Getting speedy doesn't get the job done.
I have one more suggestion for you. I know we have less than a minute left in the show today. It's this. Don't think of yourself as an age. If you think of yourself as an age, just divert that. You know, if you don't know something, it's not because you're young and untried. It's because you don't know something. And just ask the question.
Okay. I can do that.
Very good.
Great. Thank you guys so much.
You're
so
welcome, and we gotta go.
You know, next week's show, what is next week's show? It is called Getting Past Your Past. You are invited. Please share this show. We're on track for 500,000 downloads this year, thanks to you.
Yeah.
Share the show with your friends. Thanks
really,
for being
thank
here.
You.
We'll be back next week. So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.